The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Do you have any images or idols in your heart or in your home, my dear friend? Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray now for the anointing of the Spirit of God on this declaration of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we shall continue in the book of Exodus with the Ten Commandments of our Lord. So I shall read from this chapter, verse 4 through 7, which is the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now last week I covered the first commandment, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I said to you, number one, that the first commandment establishes monotheism, the doctrine that there's only one true God. All other gods are the creation of man's wicked, depraved, and perverted imagination. Secondly, I mentioned that this one God who says, have no other gods before me, identifies himself as a God of the Hebrews, as a God of salvation, as a God described in the Bible. And you can surely say that this one, only true God's name, could well be salvation. So God says here in these Ten Commandments, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God is saying here, Israel was a slave nation under Pharaoh. Israel did not have freedom of speech or religion, of assembling themselves together. Israel was in bondage and slavery. Israel was treated harshly. She was cruelly oppressed. And this true God delivered them, saved them from the vicious hand of Pharaoh the king. So it tells us right here at the beginning that God, this one God, is mighty to save to the uttermost. And as he could save Israel from Egypt in those days, so he can save you from whatever bondage you're in, whether it's the bondage of anger, jealousy, criticism, immorality. God can make a new man out of the old man. In the first commandment, God establishes monotheism. He establishes himself as the God of the Hebrews, and he established himself as the God of salvation, who sent his son Jesus as the only way of salvation 2,000 years ago. So, with one God, we also only have one way to God, that is through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now let's go to the second commandment, which is, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Here God, in these Ten Commandments, introduces himself, reveals himself to the whole world in his person, in his nature, in his character, in his holiness, in his power to save, and in his great interest in man, and in his love for man, and in his hatred of sin. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And methinks that God forbade images because no one image can do justice to his nature, and secondly, because he didn't want anything between you and him. And if you were to take all the images that man has ever come up with collectively, all these images together would not begin to reflect God at all. So all images are an insult to God. God does not want your attention on images, but he wants your attention on him. This is why it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, this is Jesus speaking, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, he did not appear unto him in a shape or any form, so that an artist could draw a picture of him. When God appeared on Mount Sinai and revealed himself to the Hebrew people, he spake out of fire, but he himself was invisible. So idols and images are out. God forbade the making of idols and images. And what damage has been done by men worshiping, making idols and images of God and worshiping them instead of him? Some have made the sun an image of God, some the moon, some the stars, some bulls, some cows, some monkeys, and some rivers. This is an abomination unto the Lord, and a violation of the second commandment, for it says there, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven, in the earth, or in the water. And what terrible things, my friend, have come out of the making of these images, but religions which are dividing people into classes, upper classes, lower classes, religions where the wife is burned when her husband is taken to his funeral, religions where if the first child is a daughter, she's burned alive, religions where there are temple prostitutes, the worship of images and idols, my friend, produces ungodliness and darkness and enslaves millions of people and brings them to despair, to agony, to fear, and poverty, and to ungodliness. God forbade idols and graven images because it leads people away from God and not to God. They that worship him, the Bible says, must worship him, our God, in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit. Look at the millions of people who are in idol worship today. Without a single thought, you can say that the poorest, most deprived, most depraved people in civilizations throughout the world are people who worship idols and images. The most blessed nations in the world are those who acknowledge that God is a spirit and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So give up your idols and cast away your images and turn to the living God, who has spiritual ears that can hear, who has a spiritual heart of compassion, who has a plan for holiness of heart, who has the power to be your deliverer. I know that casting away the idols or turning away from them always leads to conflict. When the Apostle Paul was in the city of Ephesus, people worshipped the image of Diana, one of the goddesses there. So a great business resulted, and the selling of images became very, very exciting. But when people in Ephesus became Christians by great numbers, and all these Christians stopped buying these images, the city merchants became upset, and a riot followed, and persecutions with it. But dear ones, it's worth it all to forsake the idols and images, to turn to the living God, even at the cost of martyrdom, to live with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ, forever and ever. God is altogether other than any idol or image. So he says, come unto me, and you shall live forever. But something else that can become an image to us, or an idol to us, is nature. Nature, to many people, especially in America, has become a substitute God. And people think that because they worship nature, they worship God. Many, many people in this nation, when they retire, they buy motorhomes. And they live in these motorhomes that have anything within them, from a shower to a kitchen sink to a bedroom to a television, all contained in these rolling homes. And they go from ocean to mountain and back from mountain to ocean instead of serving the Lord in the company of God's committed people, give themselves with these people to prayer, to missions work, to witnessing for the Lord, to winning souls to Christ. They worship nature. God warns us, worshiping the creation rather than the creator is very, very serious. And this warning, this very strong warning, comes to us from the Apostle Paul in Romans, the first chapter, where Paul says of these people who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever. And because of this, Paul says, God gave them over to their sins. Don't become a nature worshiper. That's idolatry. It does not say love nature with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Do not make idols or images. Do not worship creation or nature. And then know this, that anything that becomes more important than God, anything that comes between you and God, becomes an idol that leads to spiritual adultery, because it says in Exodus that God is a jealous God who will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. For some people, sports has become an idol. They worship God on Sunday morning, but they worship sports Sunday afternoon. Sunday, my friend, is not supposed to be for self-indulgence to worship our idols, but it is to fully engage ourselves in the things of God to give us strength for the coming week to live lives full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we must keep the Sabbath day holy and keep the idols out of there. We must keep all our gods out of Sunday and out of every day. I, as a pastor, have visited Christian people, and these people, so-called Christians, of course, who, when I came on a Sunday afternoon, they watched their sports show, they rather resented it, because that was more important to them to watch sports than talking to me about the great things of God's salvation. Others are in pornography. Others worship the house having to be clean all the time was more important than anything else. Others worship, my friend, the yards, and others worship dear ones, their relatives. When relatives come to town who are not believers, they just stay with them and indulge themselves in earthly things rather than going to church on that Sunday morning or Sunday night. If we have images, things between us and God, my friend, we are losing spiritually. We're coming to spiritual death. God will visit our iniquities upon our children under the third and fourth generation, and you can pray your head off or your heart out, but your children just may not be saved generation after generation because you kept something between you and God. Oh, may we never lose our first love. That was a problem with the church in Ephesus, where Jesus says to that church, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Is there anything between you and God? If there's anything between you and God, you have either lost the light of Jesus or you're about to lose it. Repent, come back to the Lord. Yes, the Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It also says, "Do not have any images or likeness or anything between you and me, for I am a jealous God." Our Father, we pray that you will help us to get these great truths into our hearts, that our love to thee will always be first love, that thy kingdom will come, and that will be done in every moment of our hearts. In Jesus' name, thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.